Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt this morning. Pink Floyd fans have helped raise £500,000 for charity in U.S. dollars. That's around $650,000 from that song. The proceeds go to Ukraine humanitarian relief. And we have Joseph Lindsley on the line with us. Pink Floyd is grateful to their fans.
Yes, Wendy, great to talk to you. I hope you had a Merry Christmas. That song, Kalina, it's a traditional Ukrainian folk song from the Carpathian Mountains, sort of where people have been fighting, trying to defend their freedom for centuries, actually for millennia. And then Pink Floyd partnered with Ukrainian band Boombox to make that version of the song. And that was in the early months of the war, and it really was one of the first, I think Pink Floyd, you could say, was one of the first global artists really to get involved with Ukraine in that way. And, you know, that it's interesting that that song, it's it was a song of the Sikh riflemen who were fighting. They were fighting everyone, the communists and the Nazis, and they had people coming from all different sides. But now since February 24th, since this full-scale war, you hear people even in the east of Ukraine where that song was not popular. People sing that song in the streets. I would say it's maybe one of the top five most patriotic songs in this war. So it was nice to hear that this morning.
Yeah. Well, I want to apologize because last time you and I spoke was right before Christmas, and I cut you off, and I felt guilty about it, and I really have regrets. So you were live, and you had some connection issues, but we have a nice signal today, and I'm really sorry about cutting you off and hitting the news on time. So I'm sorry about that, Joseph.
Wendy, it's pretty amazing that we've had, every day since February, so, generally we have great connection despite the war. So now and then that will happen.
Yeah, that kills me for you saying that. Great connection during the war. That is just something that is unthinkable. There's fresh shelling going on there now, is there not?
There was a little while ago. So there's always shelling happening, especially in the city of Bakhmut. In fact, we have a reporter there on the ground now, and it's a constant soundtrack of shelling and fighting in the distance. The cities has attacked, including civilian targets, day and night. It's the same situation in Nikopol, that city crossing the largest nuclear plant in Europe. But there was a nationwide air alarm just a few hours ago, late this morning, and that was because there was reports of Russian fighter jets and bomber activity in Belarus to the north of Ukraine. That's been happening with increasing frequency, but usually with no major strikes recently. And it seems the Russians are either training or testing or messing, playing a psychological game, because that's been happening a lot, including twice on Western Christmas Day. But we had reports of strikes in the city of Kharkiv, not so far from the center, which is a bit unusual because the past month or so, maybe almost 2 months, there have not been direct strikes in that city. And so that's the latest activity. I was talking with friends over the Christmas weekend, and, you get used to these things. But then, we took Monday off from the radio here, and you have some time to think. And, it's so strange that you wake up checking the air raid, the online air raid alert maps, like most people would check the weather forecast. And I go into little private chat groups to see if there's reports of cruise missiles coming from the Caspian Sea, in the same way you look at, if you guys were all following the bomb cyclone, coming from the north. And it is, even though you get used to it, it's really strange. It's a terrible way to live. And it's just bizarre how you get used to the idea that at any moment during these alarms, Iranian drones or cruise missiles could be coming your way.
What kind of Christmas did people have there? I mean, I'm irritated because some of my Amazon orders haven't arrived in time. You know, I mean, how do these poor Ukrainians celebrate the holiday?
Well, you know, and so here Christmas is January 7th on the old calendar, both for the Greek Catholics and for the Orthodox. So you get sort of a practice Christmas, which this year was really appreciated. It's much less stressful. People on the 25th, people might, you know, have small celebrations. This year, I think they really embrace the 25th because they need that sort of extra joy. So it's still subdued, and we have yet to see, you know, how fully Ukrainians will embrace the January 7th Christmas. But by everything I saw over the weekend, I mean, even as I mentioned yesterday, you know, you go into cafes and restaurants and kids go around singing songs. So really, the Christmas season is just beginning here. And I think that it's really needed this year as a boost of joy to boost people's spirits and reason to come together. And there've been I have a few friends who are soldiers who were able to take a couple of days to come back during this time and to share some stories. You know, they haven't really had many breaks since this began. And you know, one thing that really struck me about my soldier friends, they speak with such a business-like way about what they're doing. And, you know, they've told me some of the atrocities they've seen and how scary and difficult it is, but they maintain a cheerfulness and a calm, which shows me that morale for the fighters, despite all the, I mean, the fighting in Bakhmut, you know, everyone that's there describes it as stuff that you've only read about in, you know, stories from World War One, from horrible trench warfare. And so the fact that they're able to maintain their spirits is really inspiring.
This is a crazy story that we're getting here in the United States on all the news reports. Russian troops fighting in Ukraine can freeze their sperm for free. The families, those that are called up for military service as part of this, what's going on, can actually get free sperm freezing and storage in cryobanks. Do you know anything about that?
Well, there's been a pattern of this throughout since February. But, you know, as the Russian government tries to encourage people to come fight for, you know, a war that, you know, it doesn't have a noble purpose.
Yes.
And so they've offered things like if your son dies in the war, you get a free car. I mean, it's really sort of sick and awful. And so this is of the same category. And it just shows, I think, a government completely disconnected from any idea of humanity. You know, meanwhile, there were reports over Christmas weekend of four Ukrainians who were operating on Russian soil. And I just can't imagine how absolutely difficult that is. And they were killed, but they had been there covertly. And a writer from Kyiv, she said these words. She calls these Ukrainians, these four Ukrainians, the ghost of Russian cities, elusive avengers who instilled fear on enemy streets at night. And during the day, could ask for a smoke from some uncle on the street, could flirt with a Russian girl, or with a Russian accent, order some food from a village store. And they invisibly left behind the scenes and also invisibly disappeared from the stage into the void. I try to put myself in the mind of these, you know, I've actually had nightmares that I'm in Russian territory, and it's been sort of a recurring dream through the war. And to imagine these Ukrainians who are actually operating on Russian territory, and we do see stories of Russian bases, you know, perhaps, you know, drone strikes on Russian bases. So while Russia is trying to give away, you know, encourage soldiers to freeze their sperm and all kinds of things, Ukrainians are operating very seriously, even on Russian territory, it seems.
That's amazing. You do such a fantastic job. Everybody looks forward to hearing your reports every day. So I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow. Please stay safe. And thank you very much, Joseph. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy, as always. Until tomorrow.
I love that guy. Joseph Lindsley here on 720 WGN.